We welcome you once again to Words of Truth, and in our study during the past several weeks, we've been discussing the theme, The Truth About the Truth. The Bible teaches that the pursuit of, the acquiring of, and obedience to the truth is the greatest treasure in the world. Jesus informed Pilate, the Roman governor, "To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come in the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." John 8 and verse 37. Do you love the truth as did our Lord? Without truth, we cannot be free from sin. And if we're not free from sin, we remain lost in sin. Jesus told his would-be disciples, "If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, 31 and 32. In recent lessons, we've been studying the fact that Jesus said that his word is truth. Our Lord didn't teach the importance of truth and then fail to tell his disciples what it was or how to possess it. Jesus stated plainly, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." John 17 and verse 17. Jesus stated that his words were not his own. "But the Father that sent me, he hath given me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. The things therefore which I speak, even as the Father hath said unto me, so I speak." John 12, 49 and 50. Do you not get the impression that the words which Jesus spoke are important to you? Is it not true that one must know Jesus' words if he is to do his will? Matthew 7 and verse 21. Finally, Jesus' words are permanently preserved in Scriptures. The Scriptures, number one, produce certainty. Number two, Scriptures produce understanding in our hearts. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Thirdly, the Scriptures regulate our conduct. We are to know how we are to behave ourselves in the house of God. And fourthly, the Scriptures warn of sin. And fifthly, the Scriptures make one wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. How important it is to know God's Word. Our responsibility toward truth is to maintain a proper attitude. Webster defines attitude as the bearing assumed by a person, indicative of feeling or opinion. Funken Wagnall says it is a state of mind, behavior, conduct regarding some matter, as indicating opinion or purpose, unquote. Synonyms for attitude include condition of mind, state of feeling, or frame of mind. Thus, attitude pertains to the state of mind or feeling. That state of mind is either favorable, enthusiastic reception of a proposition or system of teaching, or it is unfavorable. That is, it produces indifference, intense hostility, indicating bitter hatred, complete disregard for law and order, or scorn rejection of a proposition or system of teaching. Our attitude will determine the pattern of our conduct. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Attitudes are conditions of the heart and are formed in the heart. Our actions reflect the attitudes already in our hearts. Thus, if proper attitudes are essential to our well-being and happiness in the things of this life, how much more necessary it is that we have proper attitudes toward the truth, which has to do with the welfare of our soul. Consider truth as a priceless possession. It is of immense value. The Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Proverbs 23 and verse 23. The comments supplied by the pulpit commentary are very good, and I quote, "Consider truth as a thing of the highest value, and spare no pains, cost, or sacrifice to obtain it, and when gotten, keep it safe. Do not barter it for earthly profit or the pleasures of sense. Do not be reasoned out of it or laughed out of it. Do not part with it for any consideration." Unquote. Friends, truth is non-negotiable. The Bible teaches the truth is not to be compromised. Christians are to cling to the truth dearly. Preachers are to preach the truth. The New Testament condemns those preachers who would compromise truth in order to satisfy their hearers. What is my obligation as a preacher of the gospel? Well, listen to Paul's instructions to young Timothy. "I charge thee in the sight of God and of Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching or doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables." 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. The hearer's responsibility is not to ask, "What do I like?" but "What is right? Am I hearing the truth preached? Do I hear sound teaching? Is the Bible proclaimed? If not, go where you can hear the pure simplicity of God's word." If we listen to lies long enough, our consciences will no longer be sensitive to truth. In his first epistle to Timothy, Paul gave this warning, "But the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart or fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience with a hot iron." 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. You see, it's easier to believe a lie that one has heard 1,000 times than to believe a truth that no one has heard before. We see two attitudes toward the truth stand in vivid contrast. The one who seeks for the truth with a determination to acquire it, regardless of the cost, and will not sell it. The other, though in possession of the truth, regards it as little value that he turns from it to fables of men. Saints regarded truth so highly that they died for their convictions. Stephen spoke the truth to hearers, even though it meant that they would literally stone his life blood out of him. Acts 7, 51 through 60. Paul spent a lifetime preaching the truth of the gospel, and at the end of life, he charged Timothy with these words, 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 8. "But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry, for I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to them that have loved his appearing." Jesus told Peter that he would die for the truth. Where are such men and women today? Could it be that we fail to value truth as they did? How important is truth to you? Men may exhibit various attitudes toward truth. For instance, some may ignore the truth. This was Gamaliel's terrible advice when the apostles were brought before the Jewish Sanhedrin. Listen to what he had to say. "Refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, lest happily ye be found even to be fighting against God." Acts 5, 38 and 39. I have heard many religionists express this do-nothing attitude. The Lord is not pleased when we are indifferent to error, and He certainly is not pleased when we are indifferent to truth. Others may ridicule the truth. This tactic seems to minimize the value of truth by presenting the message as silly and unimportant. Jesus was ridiculed of those of the town of Nazareth, His own hometown. And coming into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" Well, the same tactic was used by the enemies of Nehemiah as he attempted to rebuild Jerusalem's walls. Sanballat led in the ridicule, suggesting that a fox could break down the wall Nehemiah was building. You can read this in Nehemiah chapter 4. Still others used deceit and trickery. Others tried to discredit the messenger. And on we could go today with those who will not follow the truth. But whatever may be the case in our lives, the truth of the matter is found in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, this is this one in Jesus' prayer for the unity of all believers. It is true that not all will believe and obey the gospel. Yes, the Bible teaches that men must believe and obey the truth, and thus the truth is absolute and attainable. Those who do not believe the gospel will be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. Not only that, but God will allow individuals to believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-13. Now, what does one need to do in order to be saved? We must believe, first of all, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Except or unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." I'm sure that you've studied the Bible long enough that you've seen the evidence that demonstrates that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then act upon it. Look at what Jesus did on the cross. He died for the sin of humanity. So then, one needs to repent, change mind and heart, and go now in the right direction of serving the God of heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance comes because of godly sorrow. Why not do that today? Acknowledge then with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why? Because you believe that in your heart. Romans 10:9-10. And then finally, even in spite of the ridicule of man and in spite of the fact that many do not believe, baptism, immersion in water, is essential to salvation. Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Will you allow us to assist you in your becoming a Christian today? We hope so. And if we cannot assist you today, then at least give it some thought. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for our worship together, and again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet for midweek Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And again, we study from God's Word. We provide information that is available only through the Bible. That's our only book for study, and we hope you'll come. Everyone is welcome. Bring your Bible and bring a friend. Until next week, as once again we present Words of Truth, we bid you a good day.